Well, we're here on the brink of the final week in our 40 days with Christ. Over the last few weeks, we've shared a number of insights into drawing close to the Lord. When we were setting out to do that, we looked at kind of the acrostic, a little bit of acrostic on the name of Christ, 40 days with Christ. And each week, give me a C-H-R-I-S-T. It's almost been like a campaign for Christ, but He doesn't need any cheerleaders. He doesn't need our praise, but He inhabits the praise of His people, and He says to us, if you draw close to Me, I will draw close to you. When we looked at the sea, we saw that compassion and calling and commitment are those areas in the heart of Christ that we must model, those motivating factors to draw close to Him of holiness and hospitality, even heaven or hell, to know that if we do not make things right with Him, we will never spend an eternity with Him. The R, we talked about resolve to be changed by repentance and restoration and even restitution when necessary. And God spoke to our heart. A couple weeks ago, we shared on infirmities, intercession, and Emmanuel, God with us, that He'll help us. I think it was on Monday or Tuesday, got a text or call from Kenzie. She was needing help with a research paper. And her research paper, you might find interesting, she'd probably not be real happy that I shared this, was on the topic of the modern feminist movement and the biblical approach and response based on the Gospels. Pretty big topic. Well, she was supposed to write about 6 or 7 pages. By the time I got through giving her a lot of information, she was at 10 or 12. And one of those things I shared is, I said, you need to go back and listen to my sermon on Give Me an Eye, because I talked all about the differences that we have and distinctions that we're not equal. We might be equivalent, but we're not the same. But aren't you thankful that even though we're very, very different, some of us are more different than others, but God still loves us and He'll help us? And then the letter S, Scripture, service, stewardship, we saw last week, helps us to grow and draw closer to Him. So now we come to the T, and we look to the Word of God in the book of the Revelation, chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, begin reading with verse 7. Revelation 12 and verse 7. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan. Notice those are capital letters, not because he's God, but because it's a proper noun, okay? It is the enemy of our soul, the devil, Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. This is our key, verse 11. And they overcame him, talking about the enemy, the devil, Satan, all right? And they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. He has a short time. If I could add just the thought, sometimes in error, we attribute to the enemy, to the devil, to Satan. And by that word, I'm very significantly saying attribute. We attribute to the enemy attributes of God. The devil has some power, and he's very, very powerful against the human flesh. and against God's creation. But let me tell you something this morning, if you get nothing else out of the message that the Lord's laid on my heart. I want you to know that the devil doesn't have all power. There's only one who is all powerful, the omnipotent God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords this morning. So don't you think that you're no match for the devil when you have God on your side. You're not a match for the devil in your own strength and your own power. But when He's on your side, you can overcome by the word of your testimony, and He can lift you up and make you more than conqueror. Some people even think, well, the devil made me do it. They act like the devil's everywhere. And he does have a lot of power to send his demons in this world. There are not necessarily demons behind every tree, but let me tell you, he has a lot of power, and there's spiritual warfare going on in this place even right now. You say he can come into the church? Absolutely. I think I've met demons in the church before, amen? Not in this church, I'm just, okay. But let me tell you something, the devil is not everywhere present. There's only one who has that ability, and his attribute of omnipresence is alone reserved for God. He's the only one that can be everywhere, that he can be meeting with us by his Spirit. He can be over in Japan. He can be over in Korea. He can be over in Great Britain or wherever, South America, Bolivia, wherever. And he can be meeting with those saints even as he's meeting with us. Because why? He's everywhere present. He's omnipresent. And he is the only one who is. So don't you give the devil any credit or any glory this morning, because he is not omnipresent like our God. You say, well, that may be true, Pastor, but it seems like sometimes I struggle with my thoughts, and I struggle to just think the right things, and it seems like the devil gets into my mind. No, he doesn't. Let me tell you something, newsflash, but the devil is not omniscient. I say, well, duh. No, I'm here to tell you, there's a lot of people that think that the devil knows everything. No, he does not. Do you think that the devil would have sent Jesus to the cross if he had known that Jesus had resurrection power, that he could overcome death, hell, and the grave? Absolutely not. His old plan was defeated from the cross of Calvary to the tomb in resurrection power, because Jesus on that third day rose again. They were singing Jesus' praises as he came in on that donkey. They were praising him. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But a short time later, not even 3 or 4 days later, those praises of Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, turned to crucify him. Crucify him. Do you think the devil knew that? He had no clue. I want to encourage you this morning. The devil does not know your thoughts, so don't you speak them out when you're struggling with them. Take it to Jesus Christ. Take it by His Spirit in prayer and say, Lord, transform my mind afresh and anew. Help me to be renewed. That nothing what I just said is in my notes. I'll just throw that in for free. I'm not going to charge you double. I just wanted you to know that the devil is not omniscient. God is. God knows your heart. He knows your thoughts. He knows the imagination. In fact, if you don't believe me, go back to Genesis 6:5. You remember before the flood? It says that God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and the very imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God knew. And God knows your heart, and he even knows your thoughts. Does that terrify you? It shouldn't. If you're having the right thoughts, if you're having Philippians 4:8 thoughts, you ought to be blessed and rejoicing in that concept this morning. So God is omniscient. He knows our hearts. He knows our thoughts. Well, let me share this morning from the Word of God some ways that we can really go forward in victory. What is T for? T is for truth. The truth of God's Word. When we speak of truth, we understand that truth is not concerned with what is not, but it's concerned with what is. In fact, if you allow just another mathematical illustration, I love math, I'm sorry. But have you ever had in algebra, maybe, if you're learning, or maybe even in beginner's math, in general math, you have a double negative. What do two negatives become? Anyone? A positive. So truth is exactly like that. When you have maybe a minus 2 in parentheses and then you have a minus outside of that, that becomes a positive 2, doesn't it? And truth is minus the negative. It's not concerned with what is not, but truth is concerned with what is. We spend far too much time being concerned with what is not. We spend whole seminars in the church talking about what is false and what is error, and not enough time preaching and teaching what is truth. Because if you know the truth, Jesus said, you will know the truth and it will set you free. Say, preacher, do you mean that we should not study false religions and cults? No, I didn't say that. It doesn't hurt to know what they're teaching, to know what heresy looks like, to be able to recognize it, to know what perhaps the religion of Islam teaches, or to know what Hinduism is all about so that you can win them to the Lord. I taught a whole class on world religions and cults. We spent probably more time on Roman Catholicism than we did anything else in that class. Why? Because of the danger where you take truth and distort it and twist it to the point that people believe error. So you're looking at someone that believes that you need to instruct people and teach them how to believe and how to follow the truth. But I'm concerned in my heart and life when people get so hung up on the negative things of life. I've experienced it in my background when there were some in the church that were focused on a very long list, not of do's, but of don'ts. The truth of God's Word is much more concerned about what is than what is not. Are you tracking? I don't know if I'm connecting this morning because of just kind of maybe we're tired or something. But a lot of times it seems like we get our lists out and we say, you know, I can mind the Lord. That means I don't smoke and chew. I don't run with girls who do or something like that. That's the depth of our theology. And that's not in the Word of God anywhere, folks. And then people start quoting other things that aren't in the Word of God, and they begin to have their man-made list of rules. And what do? They become Pharisaical before you know it. And they begin to teach the teachings of man as if they're in the Word of God. And that's why there's such a high rate of hypocrisy in our world today. Because you cannot really abide by the standard of man. In the book Of Whom the World Was Not Worthy, Marie Chapin tells of the sufferings of the church in Yugoslavia, where so much wrong has been perpetrated in the name of Christ for the enriching and empowering of the corrupt church leaders that were there. They weren't true Christians, but they named the name of Christ. So people were discouraged about anything to do with Christ. And one day, an evangelist by the name of Dyakov arrived in a certain village. He commiserated with an elderly man named Zimmerman on the tragedies that he'd experienced and talked to him about the love of Christ. At least he tried to, because Zimmerman abruptly interrupted Yaakov and he told him that he wished to have nothing to do with his Christianity. He reminded him of the dreadful history of church and those who named the name of Christ in his own town. A history replete with plundering, exploiting, and indeed with killing innocent people in the name of Christ. He said, I don't want anything to do with your Jesus. In fact, he went on to say, my own nephew was killed by them. I will never believe in your Christ. And he angrily rebuffed any effort on Yaakov's part to talk about Jesus. He said, they wear these elaborate coats and caps and crosses, signifying a heavenly commission, but their evil designs and lives I cannot ignore, he said. Yaakov, looking for an occasion to get Zimmerman to change his mind and go beyond his concept of sort of a Catholic church mindset, he said, you know, can I ask you a question? Zimmerman, suppose that I were to steal your coat, I put it on, and I break into a bank. And suppose further that the police sighted me running in the distance. They have evidence that it's connected to me, but they couldn't catch up with me at that time. But one clue they had put them onto your track. They recognized your coat. What would you say to them if they came to your house and accused you of breaking into the bank? Well, Simran said, well, I would just deny it. Ah, but we saw your coat, they would say. We have evidence that you were there. Well, this analogy quite annoyed Simran, and he ordered him out of his house immediately. But he continued to teach little segments, little seeds that were planted. Yaakov continued to do all that he could to befriend Simran and love him and encourage him and share the love of Christ with him. Finally, one day, Simran asked, well, how does one become a Christian anyway? Yaakov was speechless, and he began to teach him the simple steps of repentance for sin, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And he gently pointed him to the shepherd of his soul who already loved him. Simran bent his knee on the soil with his head bowed and surrendered his life to Christ. And as he rose to his feet, wiping his tears, he embraced Yaakov and he said, thank you for being in my life. And then he pointed upward to the heavens and he whispered, you wear his coat very well. I thought of that story. I thought, you know, each Christian should be that type of Christian that wears the coat, the robe of Christ, the robe of righteousness, that people see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. We do that not only by sharing the truth, but by our testimony this morning. What is your testimony? Sometimes people see or hear a great extravagant testimony and they are discouraged because they think, well, I can't share a story like that. Well, let me tell you something. We all have one. You may not have a testimony about being out in deep sin and addictions and immorality, and God saved you from all that. But you may have a testimony that says, you know, God spared me from all that and saved me from a life of despair and utter ruin. Our testimony is not as much concerned with what is, but with what was. We share the scripture many times in 2 Corinthians 5:17, kind of a life verse for our church. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, old things have passed away. All things have become new. We're being made new in Jesus Christ. Our testimony this morning is what we share in the power of the gospel that we have been made new. And then third, God moves in our lives to the place of triumph. It's an old gospel song, came out a few years back, a couple decades or more. Said there's victory for the Christian who walks the narrow way. There's been a prize appointed for the soul that does not stray. Oh, I want to live for Jesus and be all that I can be so that I can live with Him forever, live eternally. And then it gives the key, step into the water. Wade out a little bit deeper. Wet your feet in the water of His love. Oh, step into the water. Wade out a little bit deeper. Come join angels singing praises to the Lamb of God. With our testimony, we're not just speaking in triumph about futuristic things only. When we think of triumph, and we read from the book of the Revelation, the victory over Satan by the word of our testimony, but we're talking about victory for us right here, right now, to be more than conquerors. When we speak of triumph, we're not concerned with what is or what was, but what shall be. And that's a declaration now and of the future. Imagine a city that was under siege. The enemy that surrounds the city will not let anyone or anything leave. Supplies are cut off, they're running low, and the citizens are becoming very, very fearful. But in the dark of the night, a spy sneaks through the enemy lines and he's rushed to the city to tell the people that in another place, the main force of the enemy has been defeated and the leaders have already surrendered unconditionally. They may still be under siege, but the people do not need to be afraid. It's only a matter of time until the besieging troops receive the news and lay down their weapons right there on the battlefield. Similarly, we may seem right now to be surrounded by the forces of evil. Everywhere you look, the power of the enemy is at hand. Disease, injustice, oppression, death, ridicule, persecution. But let me tell you something. The enemy has actually been defeated at Calvary. Praise God. Things are not the way they seem to be. It's only a matter of time until it becomes clear to all that the battle is already over. Jesus said it in three words. It is finished. That was not just a declaration of that time. It's what shall be, that He has conquered death, hell, and the grave for you and for me. Amy Carmichael said it this way. Sometimes when we read the words of those who've been more than conquerors, we feel almost despondent. She said, I feel that I shall never be like that. That more than conqueror, I struggle day to day. But then I begin to think, no, you know what? They won the victory through step by step, by little bits of wills, little denials of self, little inward victories by faithfulness in very little things and trusting God even for right now. They became what they are, but no one sees these little hidden steps of victory. They only see the big picture, the accomplishment, but even so, those small steps were taken undeniably. And this is what she highlighted in this little article. There is no sudden triumph. That is the work of the moment. Deciding again to let go and let God have His way in our heart and our life. Over the last few weeks, we've seen so many areas of truth that help us to draw closer to Christ. Whether you can remember an outline of 40 days with Christ, well, that doesn't matter. But I want us to be able to perhaps hang some thoughts on these points of emphasis of each week as we close. The letter D, or delta if you will, in the Greek alphabet, it's the fourth letter of the alphabet. That's one definition for it, but it also has a meaning that speaks of a deposit of soil, usually kind of triangular, formed at the mouth of some rivers. And I thought of that truth, and I thought, you know, I hope that with these D's, that there's been some deposits of soil that we apply these truths that we're being taught by God's Spirit. Week number one, desire, willpower to reach the goal. Week number two, devotion, integration of faith and obedience. Week three, denial. That's the prioritizing of those desires. Week four, speaking of dependence, yielding control to one greater than we. Last week, duty, responsibility to just do it no matter what. And then discipleship is our point of emphasis. And it's fitting because every day that we follow Him, we learn to become more like Him. Daily following Jesus Christ is what discipleship really means to our hearts and lives. See, the triumph is not in, say, 40 days with Christ, but in every day with Christ. We set aside 40 days that we would be able to just have a point of emphasis, a point of reference in what Jesus did for us. But He gives us various theme songs by God's grace that we can sing. We can sing every day with Jesus, or day by day, and with each passing, moment by moment, through it all, oh victory in Jesus, it will be worth it all. When we all get to heaven. All those songs are life songs of our life in walking every day with Christ. It's all made possible because He paid that debt that He did not owe. We owed the debt we could not pay. We needed someone to wash our sins away. When I think of God's grace, I think of His mercy in my own life. I have to say, to God be the glory. To God be the glory for great things He has done, because I'm so unworthy. I've failed Him. I've had to come back and say, God, be merciful to me. I've always found there's mercy and grace at the foot of the cross. I don't know, maybe you feel like a failure this morning. Maybe you feel like, you know, I just don't even know how to plug into someone. This talk about spiritual emphasis for 40 days. I can't even get 2 days in a row that go. Well, why don't you just shoot for one? Every day with Jesus. Let Him take you today. Make you what you ought to be today. He'll handle your tomorrow, amen? As you surrender to Him. The significance of 40 in the Bible is very clear. It's a number of testing, number of trial, it's a number of God's move upon many of His faithfulness. I thought of Jesus. Those 40 days in the wilderness in time of temptation, quoting Scripture time and time again by the power of God to resist the enemy, and He finally began to flee from Him, and He in victory conquered for us. Just like Jesus, we can overcome. We can be in victory, and we can rise up above those battles in our life, and we can have victory today, and He can keep you today and even tomorrow until you make heaven by His grace. And beyond that promise, He also comes to us and asks us to be those who are making other disciples. If we're involved in discipleship ourselves, then the natural result is that we are disciples making disciples. Amen? We have a desire to bring them to meet the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the One who's changed our lives. What saddens my heart as a pastor is that I think one of the reasons the church does not really expand and reach out is because people are so afraid of their own testimony falling short. Or they're afraid that maybe someone will ask them a question they don't have the answer to, and so they resist even the dealing of God's Spirit for them to reach to others. Let me tell you something. God's able to keep you, make you what you ought to be so that you can be a blessing to someone else. And He wants to use you in your life to make other disciples. The amazing thing that is true if you look through research across cultures, no matter where it is in this world, that new believers in Jesus Christ tend to disciple others much more effectively. I'm nothing against someone that served God for 40 years. Praise God for His faith. Some of you have served God longer than that. But the fact of the matter is that when it's fresh and real and God's done something this day or this last week in your life, you just can't keep it in. That's why I'm so excited to see God moving in a fresh way, because with the new comes those that reach others. With the fresh touch of His Spirit are those that reach out and say, come and see what the Lord is doing in my life. I want to encourage you, if it's been a while since you felt His presence like that, you can know it today. You can go from this place made new in the power of God's Spirit. God bless you.